Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Y Theatre, Leicester. Please welcome a man who you might not be able to spot because he's just a pile of leaves. It's Richard Herring. Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, Leicester. I still hate you. Lovely to be here. Thank you very much for coming back. You're much better than last week's audience. They were awful. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Sucks Testicles podcast. I hate Leicester. Why do I keep coming back? Why? Though I was down at the Abbey pumping station the other day. It really wasn't what I was hoping for, I have to tell you. I was hoping it would be a lot of monks farting. That's what I was hoping, but it wasn't that. It was just a load of old water stuff in there. And the people there call it Rahalastapa. So that's... Thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming. You've got a free programme for coming along if you can. They're dotted around on the seats. Sponsored by the energy company Bulb. Don't go with them. don't go with them. Thank you, though, for... I think sponsoring that programme was the thing that did for them. It's nice. If you're interested, at the end of the show, the ushers will be holding some buckets and I'm making a collection for Scope. I know nobody carries cash with them anymore, but if you would want to give some money to Scope, a fantastic disability charity, on your way out, that would be lovely, but you don't have to. It's just a little nice free gift, and I've got about 20 boxes of them in my garage, and they're sponsored by Bulb. It starts to look a bit out of date, but that would be lovely if you wanted to do that. Oh, look, I was looking at the Leicester Mercury...
for see what's going on in Leicester. It's quite exciting, actually, more than I thought. There's a lot of stuff that's too gruesome to talk about. But well done, Leicester. But my favourite thing that came up on the website was an article it's entitled Five Reasons You Should Have Sex on a First Date According to Experts. I wish I was that expert. I say, oh, yeah, should we say you have to have sex? Yes, use that expert sense. You have to do it because it's good for you to do it, if you, especially if they're quite nerdy, the person you're with. And can't. So well done. Do have sex on. I think you should have sex on the first date. Let's get out of the way. That's what. Did you have sex on the first date, you two?
This is your first date.
Yeah. What do you think? You should just do it. Get out. I mean, I'm talking to you because he definitely will do it if he's gets the chance. There's no point in talking to him. Just get out of the way. You find out if he's any good. And then you find out if he's serious, don't you? Because if he rings back, then that's fine. You just know whether you're with them. I say, go for it. Go for it. Do it straight away. What do you think? Anyone agree with that? Did you two do it on your first date? Is this your first? If everyone's here on the first date, hey, don't have sex with him. He's brought you to this on the first date. This is... astonishing that anyone who likes this podcast has had any dates at all. That's the most astonishing thing. Look, let's crack on because we're maybe running a little bit late. My guest this week is probably best known for her appearance as Penny Latimer in A Pinch of Snuff, which sounds like it was made in the Victorian times, which it may have been. Will you please welcome the incredible Rebecca Wheatley, ladies and gentlemen. Here she is from A Pinch of Snuff. Come on in. Hello. Grab a microphone. How are you doing? Do you remember it? Do you remember A Pinch of Snuff?
Yes, because I was I played porn movie producer for Snuff Films. That was led by the title there, you see.
Wow, I thought it was going to be about
with Hale and Pace.
They
did a sort of pilot thing in it. Yeah, it was Hale and Pace and they were the detectives.
Oh my goodness.
I was the porn movie producer. It's a lovely introduction, isn't it, to my personality? And since then I've never looked back.
I'm delighted. I play poker with one of Hale and Pace. I can't tell them apart. One's got a moustache, right, and one hasn't got a moustache.
Yes.
I'm no moustache is who I play poker with. Norman Pace, I do know his name for real, of course.
Of course you do.
He's a lovely... I haven't seen him for a little while. Have you seen Hale and Pace recently?
No, I think... are they both alive?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're thinking of the Chuckle Brothers.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Very
yeah.
similar. One of them had they both had a moustache.
They're both moustaches.
Yeah, you can't both have a moustache and a double act. You've got to be different in a double act. That's why the Chuckle Brothers.
Yeah. I didn't wear my moustache today because I didn't want to, you know.
Yeah, I've got a little moustache.
They would, you know, not know which is which.
So, yes. It's lovely to see you. I've mainly had you on because, you know, I haven't seen you for a little while. We used to live almost next door to each other.
Yeah, you stalked me. Do you remember?
I do.
Yeah, you bought a house about three times. I had a little basement flat and you had like a 24-bedroom house, if I remember. With a white sofa, which didn't really
You helped me choose my sofas. You were very nice.
I did. I was very pregnant at the time.
Yeah.
And we waddled about... No. That's very clear. It was not him. Write that down. Yes, I did. We went to John Lewis together, didn't we?
Yeah, you were very helpful because I was a bit lost.
Yeah, but you bought the biggest house in the whole of Shepherd's Bush.
I nearly bought a house opposite you, so you're lucky I was round the corner.
Yeah, yeah. I checked that. You didn't have quite enough children at the time, but you're making up for it now.
I was planning ahead into the future. So, look, I didn't know this about you. You went to a convent school.
I'm sure you did.
I did.
Yeah, yes, I went to a convent school.
How did you get on there?
Yes, the full navy blue knickers. You know, they used to check that you had your name in your navy blue knickers so that when you did Lord of the Dance, if you should show any of those navy blue knickers, then that would be, you know, a crime against God. And I haven't really stopped showing my knickers. They're probably about the same size. Yeah, so I went to the convent.
Yeah.
And I quite liked it.
Did you?
Yeah. I didn't mind it at all, you know. It was all right. It was all right. They were nice to me. They didn't quite know how to handle me, and that was always the best way, I think.
Yeah.
Left field, I've got them. I was always out of the classroom for some reason. They always put me out. And we had a teacher once, and she wasn't a nun, and she used to, if she was trying to, because the convent schoolgirls were quite well behaved, apart from me. They were quite, and she used to look around the classroom and say, I can tell which one of you by looking in your eyes is a virgin or not. We were 16, you know, 16, and she was like that. And I'm sure she just was using it to, she used to go around the entire classroom, yeah, little eyes like this. It was a whole act.
Wow. It's a bit creepy. Respect.
Yeah.
Not like the religious Catholic people to be creepy with amongst kids.
Not usual
for the girls. The nuns are usually okay.
But she had a lot of eyebrow movements, and obviously you'd look at your friends and think she knew something godlike, and she was just wasting time in the classroom. Because she just thought, these are a lot of very boring, well-behaved girls. Let's shake them up a bit. I loved her. Mrs. Burke, I love her. She's sadly gone now. Oh. I liked her because she was naughty.
Do you think she was a virgin?
Oh, I don't think so at all.
I looked in her eyes.
Yeah.
Look, you're here at the Leicester Comedy Festival.
Yes.
Appearing in Menopause, the musical, two.
Two, because one is never enough.
Okay. And you've done one. So you've done this before. So tell me about this show.
I'll tell you about Menopause. So Menopause, the musical one, is a huge success. They have it in Las Vegas. It's constantly in Las Vegas. So it was originally from America. And we created it just before COVID hit. And so this tour is something that we started 2 years ago. And it got interrupted, obviously. So we all went back with our menopause to sweat indoors instead of sweating on the good public. And it's basically it's a romp, a musical romp through the menopause. And this is two. So the first one was just a musical romp that we inherited. And this one was this producer has made a new show, and it's called Cruising Through Menopause.
Okay.
And we're on a cruise, on a boat. And which is lovely plot twist.
Yeah.
And we four different characters. You'll be astounded to know, I play the dowdiest. Oh. She's very, very shy. She's very retiring. She has nice glasses and a nice lot of headband acting. I do a lot of that. And we talk and laugh about the menopause. It's actually a very empowering.
Yeah,
empowering
well, this
thing.
Seems to be something that's coming up a lot more now. I've seen a lot. This seems to people talk because it was one of those subjects that people didn't ever talk about.
And then Davina McCall thought it was a really good idea that women would want to talk about. And indeed, there's nothing wrong with Davina. There's nothing. But actually, we're all different shapes and sizes. We've got the wonderful Chrissy Rock, who's in here tonight. Who was in Benidorm. Very, very funny, and the Nikki French and Susie Fenny, and they're really lovely girls. But we're all definitely of an age, and we're definitely all different shapes and sizes. I'm the biggest shape, Chrissy's the littlest shape. But I think what women really want to see, if you're going to make a comedy which is also serious in that it's we're talking about things, we're not taking ourselves very seriously, but it is out there.
Yeah.
We are visible, very visible. That they want to see women that look like them or look like their mothers or look like their grandmother, whatever it is. And I think, you know, it's great that we now talk about it with Davina and things, but she is stunningly beautiful and she, you know, and she is accomplished and she is a very controlled person. I mean, I know she's had a demons in the past, and you think, really, we want the fatties to take control, don't we? We want, you know, some power. Thank you! Yes for the fatties! You should at least cheer a little bit. I mean, you know.
I'm up and down. I'm heading back up.
Give us a wiggle or a wobble on that.
I'm heading back up. I'm heading back. After Christmas.
Yeah.
I started eating chocolate again. I'm going to stop again.
Stop.
Yeah, I'm going to stop eating chocolate. But I think when I did a show called Talking Cock, which was taking a subject that people don't talk about seriously. Men don't talk about it seriously. But and I was also involved in a show called Grumpy Old Women, which I helped script edit that Jenny did. And it's kind of, astonishing. I'm presuming you're getting a mainly female audience.
But men do like this show because there's no real men bashing. You know, when you go to a show, and I haven't seen Grumpy Old Women, but there's a lot of men bashing. This isn't men bashing. There's no men like this show, I think, probably even more than Menopause One, because we are literally saying, look, this is what we are. This is what we're going through. It is funny, but it is also serious. So you really... it's hard, without getting too serious, it is really, you know, we can't get to decide how women feel empowered. So, you know, you go on Women's Hour and they're, you know, be very, very serious about the menopause. And indeed, it is a serious subject. But at the same time, when you are in, you know, we play places like Edinburgh Playhouses, which is that, you know, you can have 2,500 women who are literally screaming and laughing. And by the end of particularly Menopause 2, there is a great feeling of bonding and of being visible at whatever size or whatever age or whatever, wherever you come from, whatever your story is. And actually intellectualizing it, I don't think helps particularly. Women just want to be heard and to know that they're not going insane. This is something that is actually real.
Yeah.
And that we are in it together. And that's really, I think, what the moral of the story is. There's no, you know, don't say, oh, it's a menopausal woman, oh, leave her. That's the worst thing to do, leave her, you know. It's just about, and when we do International Women's Day, the feeling is like being, you know, rock stars for the hormonally challenged. That's what we are. That's really what it is. Menopause 1 had a section where the women are allowed to come on stage, which we always thought, as actors, oh God, it's a pain, they're going to come and they're going to not want to get off the stage and someone will be too drunk, you're trying to keep them away from the edge. But actually, they want to tell you, even though we're just doing a little dance thing, they want to tell you their stories, they want to say, I've had breast cancer, so-and-so is dead, you know, it has just died, my friend has just died, I have dementia. It is the problems of women that are 50 plus, when they're at the time of their life, when they are dealing either with grown-up children or no children or, you know, parents that are elderly need looking after. And then at that time, when you think things can't get worse, you have a dribbling undercarriage as well. And hot sweats.
Yeah.
And you don't want sex. Don't want sex. I know that's a shock to you. It's a shock, isn't it? It's a shock. But, you know, you don't, you need so much more effort to be a woman after all this nurturing and life. And then you get this, you know. And people say, oh, no, you're just making it up. It's not. It's real. Anyway.
No, well, it's in...
Big up the menopausal, badass women.
I think men should go and see it, because I think men don't really, you know, don't know what's going on. So it's one of those things. In fact, the drunk women... my wife's in a sketch group called Drunk Women Solving Crime, or a podcast group, but they just did a sketch with Jenny Eclair about... getting the talk about the menopause in the same way as you got the talk about having periods at school, which is very. But it's becoming at this thing. But I think men, in the same way that as boys we didn't understand what periods were and we were kept away from that, the men are sort of kept in the dark a bit about the menopause.
Yeah, because they don't want to think that women have problems and they don't want to think that it's inconvenient. It's inconvenient, and also particularly with the menopause and with periods and everything, it's so different for every single woman. So you can't say, oh, that's that. So. And also, you don't want that kind of patronising speak where they say, oh, it's a time of the month, you go. It's not my time of the month, it's you!
But my experience of going to see Grumpy Old Women was more or less the only man in the audience, and the vagina monologues to a less extent, because the vagina monologues is the only man in there, but it's very serious. But the sound the audience made, you don't hear it because you don't usually have a group of middle-aged women all in one place, and when they're bonding and laughing together, that sound was slightly terrifying. It was terrifying.
It's terrifying. My husband, I mean, even when it's good, I mean, vagina monologues is one of those, it's harrowing in lots of respects, because it is stories of abuse, and there are some laughs, but this is not like that.
No.
We are full on from the beginning, dancing and singing and, you know, and showing my pants, showing my, you know, that kind of thing. That's what we're heading for. But at the same time, my husband, when he goes to see, had seen it, Menopause 1, I mean, I've done this a few years, I'll be doing Zimmer, the musical, soon. And he said, it's like chickens. He was up in the balcony and he would say, he's very Turkish, I'm doing my Turkish impression. I don't mean to be offensive, but he's my husband. Oh, darling. Oh, darling, oh, darling, this is like I'm coming to Chicken House. So he's up in there, he's going, because they all go, wah, 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 wah. And then they all go, wah, 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 because they're all nudging each other and going like this. So he said, going to women's shows is a bit like going to the Chicken House. But it's empowering.
Yeah, it is empowering, and I think
it is.
And it's crazy that that doesn't happen more. You know, that it feels like an unusual experience. I suppose it has to be for a man, because for men to be there, that would ruin it in a way. But it's, you know, I think those shows, and they've always been, and this is a huge, as you say, a hugely successful
huge
franchise.
Success. I mean, it's
massively
ridiculous.
Successful.
Worldwide success. It's in Australia, it's all over Europe. You can see Spanish versions of Menopause 1. This Menopause 2 is new and unique. But Menopause 1 is, you know, in Las Vegas, and has been in Las Vegas for, I think, 25 years or something. I mean, it's ridiculously... particularly, you know, we've got four characters, and none of the female characters have proper names. So we've got... I'm housewife. I know. It's a stretch for me. I don't do any housework, actually, but, you know, housewife. And they're soap star, so she's the very sexy one, played by Susie Fenwick, and she's... very beautiful, you know, and she's fading. She doesn't look like she's fading to me. there's things. And Chrissy Rock plays the Earth Mother, so she's trying to be in touch with her inner Zen when actually going through some tremendous mood swings at the same time and in character. And she's very funny. And Nicola Sharon, as I call her, Nikki French, who was... did the Eurovision and things like that. That's what she's done, and principally singing. She's the professional woman, so she's the woman that sort of gave up looking after the children a bit to do work, and then she's come around. So it's their individual stories, our individual stories, and mine is, because I can see you're interested.
I am.
Mine is sexual awakening. That's my journey of character. Thank you. Good night. Thank you, Lester. Yeah, so because she's always married one man, she's never really, you know, the sex was all right, she had children, but then she realises, well, I should be wanting something more. He dies in this one. That's not a spoiler alert if you're coming to Montfort Hall down the road tonight at 7:30. you know, he dies, and then she suddenly realizes there's got to be more to life than sitting in and just, you know, thinking I've slept with one man in my life and snogged someone in the stationery cupboard in 1978. That's her whole story.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, it's weird that TV doesn't, you know, sort of tend, and in acting terms, do you feel that, like, middle-aged women are sort of edged out of that a little bit? I mean, Nikki Clark is doing a campaign about acting your age and saying that, you know, people winning Oscars, well, female actors are getting increasingly younger and male actors are sort of
because
still working
into their age. Any of those partners, they will find a sort of... a man in his late 50s and the partner will be 30.
Yeah.
Probably the end that they will be is 33, 34. And it feels like that once you... get to the end of your 30s and particularly over 40 and 45 that you are not you know, that you're not viable as a woman. And actually, I think, as speaking for myself, despite all the physical things that go wrong, that's when it gets interesting. I mean, that's when, as a woman, you think, I really don't give a anymore, really. People, you know, in the same way, I don't have the same insecurities. I don't feel, as women, I've done a lot of women's shows. I did Mum's the Word, which was, again, exploring motherhood at that time. Was it when we did it, 25 years before I even had children? No, it was when Fred had just had my one child 18 years ago. And you think that women get to this age and that all the insecurities that you have about other women suddenly disappear as far as I'm concerned. I really do... can see all the good things about women. And when you are in your 20s and 30s, you start when in your 20s as a woman, and I don't think I'm being disloyal to women, that there is competition to get men and to look, you know, the best that you can. And then when you have children or don't have children, that's a decision that segregates people as well, you know, both viable, of course. Then if you choose to have children, then you're competitive at the school gates, because then it's how are you bringing up your children. Everything, every single thing is about judgment. And I don't know whether that's the same for men. And you get judgment after judgment after judgment. And now we are meant to be 50 plus. We are meant to have, you know, these wonderful careers that we've forged, these fantastic, children balanced children that we've managed to nurture through these wonderful relationships with our new men, and we're meant to look like sex goddesses and want sex until, you know, until we seal up for the rest of our lives. And that is what is expected of womanhood, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it
go
is.
Go on, argue with me. Go on.
Well,
tell me
I know I've had you on because I agree with you. That's the problem with my podcast. Is like, you know, I think it's a really weird way that happens. And it's especially weird when you think that, you know, that the audience at a theatre is going to be largely more of older women, isn't it?
Yeah.
And as you're finding out, there's a huge audience for it, that women live longer and, you know, are there longer. It's sort of weird that society kind of hides all this away, that this change happens and then everyone's sort of too embarrassed to talk about it. And yeah, men don't become as redundant. I think I was talking backstage to Joz last week about I think some men go a bit crazy in their middle age, you know, and because they've lost their, maybe it's not quite relevance, but they've, you know, they're no longer that center of the world, and they have to get used to being like slightly shifted away sometimes, that men can go a bit mad, I think.
Yeah,
and you
well,
see
it's male menopause, it's midlife crisis, it's the same as male menopause. It's that kind of, you know, wanting to regain youth, wants it having virility and validity at that point of life, and all of those things, absolutely.
But society itself, I think, still allows men to, you know, have,
oh, I know,
have
I
a
think
role
that,
in the way they don't.
My point would also be that I think women do it to each other as well, and I think when you get to the menopause shows or the older shows or whatever these shows at this age, is that actually it is the journey of women deciding to look after each other in a real sense. And I know that a lot of, you know, our main bookings are groups of women. That is, you know, you might get some woman who's dragging her husband along and to make a point, but mainly it will be, it does happen quite a lot. That happens. But it does happen that it's main groups of women, and then they suddenly go, oh, yes, we do care about each other. So by the end, they are crying. They do cry.
Yeah.
They do clutch each other. They do, you know, that's not just the sight of me in my underwear. That is literally from an emotional response.
Yeah.
And I think that is a big thing and a good thing, and people that don't necessarily expect that to happen from going to Menopause the Musical 2 on tour till 19th of June.
Good. Well, people should definitely go. I'm not going to, but everyone else should.
No. Have you ever? I don't think you have. I think you've missed all of
I've
my
seen,
shows.
I've seen. I went. You're a fantastic singer.
Oh, you have. Done
I've seen
singing.
You. I've seen your amazing solo singing.
Yes, thank you. You can big that up as much as you like.
We'll talk about that later. Let's talk about, I think, where people may remember you from is Casualty, which you were in for four or five years.
I was, yes.
Back in the 1990s. You
played. That's quite a long time, though.
It is.
For these poor young people.
I mean, some of them, a lot of them aren't that young. Some of them are young, but...
they look vibrant to me. Go on, show some vibrancy. Go on. No, nothing.
My main question about acting in Casualty is, how did you cope with, you know, Charlie in Casualty?
Hello, Charlie, your taxi's here. I can do that.
Okay, that's
good. I can do it. Yeah, I only had about four lines each episode. I'm sorry, a triage nurse will be out to see you soon. That's another one, isn't it? Charlie, your taxi's here.
Yeah.
There was another one. I never said anything very...
You played the receptionist. You were very... It was a big role.
It was a big role, yes.
But Charlie, the actor, he looks over your shoulder when he...
No. Can we not...
What's
not
he doing?
We never will diss my Derek. Never.
What's he
never.
Doing?
He's the most... gorgeous. I can't tell you what a lovely, lovely man he is. He would say, he's a very intelligent man. He's a lovely man, and very, very funny, very dryly funny. He's very funny. He says it's a character choice that in order that he made a choice years and years and years ago as a character that Charlie didn't like addressing people full on in the eyes, and so that he looks away. He says that at the time. I mean, I haven't spoken to him for a while. I don't know if that's still the case or he's just got into the habit of it. But it was originally a character choice that there was so much emotional kind of thing. And you do all this casualty. I mean, somebody dies every 3 seconds or just about dies in the first 2 seconds. They worked out that someone could just about die in the first 2 seconds. They could keep people to keep watching Casualty. And that's how it works. So you've got to watch the first minute. If you can get through the first minute, oh, you're hooked. But Derek is one of the loveliest. He's a great singer as well. He's a lovely singer and loves his music.
Is Casualty still going, and is he still in it?
Yes, I think he is. I don't think he has to do that many episodes anymore because he's sitting on these big piles of money. Don't say that. I'm sure he is on big piles of money. Well, he certainly was when I was on there.
It's a weird thing when you get, because you wouldn't have he wouldn't have been expecting, and I'm sure, you know, like you obviously, that a choice was made about how long you were going to be in the show for. Would you have stayed in forever?
I stupidly decided to leave, yeah. I decided to leave so I could have stayed at that point. I mean, whether they would have got rid of me or not. We came in a gang with Rebecca Lacey, who you also work with and know, and Claire Goose.
Yes.
And so there was Jonathan, he was already there. There was like a group of us that came in together and we had the best time, the most best time. And they are, you know, Rebecca Lacey is still one of my closest friends. And when she left and then Claire left, and then you think, it's just me hanging on for the money. I mean, for the group. So I think at the time you just say, oh, there's something out there. And it did, you know, you can't stay doing the same thing. I literally had given birth on television. That was one of my storylines in a petrol station in Temple Meads. The only time on a night shoot when there was a lot of people seemed to want to come round. And Vincenzo Pellegrino was between my legs and they said, oh, do you want some special knickers so he doesn't have to see anything? I said, no, let him see it. Let him see it. Come on, we know each other well enough now. So I had that. I'd had two singles and I had a music contract with BBC Worldwide and done an album with BBC Worldwide. And I just thought, if this is the time, not because I thought I'd be launched into being a big star, but actually you sort of... I didn't want to become, you know, one of those people that just comes in and does it because that was an easy way of making money. I wanted to go off and do other things. And indeed, I did lots more singing and all the things that you have talked about. So.
And also there's no way of knowing that a show is going to go on forever. Like if you go into Casualty, but it might be a series, it might be 20 years. It's kind of crazy that something's gone from something. And it's an interesting choice to decide to stay. And I can understand why people do stay, but... If you're with someone like William Roach and with Charlie from Casualty, and I'm not calling him by any other name, they've almost been the character long as much as they've been themselves,
Absolutely. And, you know, and I suppose you either decide to, I mean, when I was there, he was always going to say he was going to leave and everything if he didn't like the producers or anything, but he has a great loyalty to the show. He is one of those people who isn't just there for the money, although it does help everybody, doesn't it? You know, but he does really... He's a very generous actor and he does sort of care about it. And I thought, how can you keep caring, really? And that's, I think, why I left, because I was spending too much time taking the piss up. Charlie, your taxi's here. Or finding out I had very big nails and how many nails I could get into shop because they'd cost me money. So I thought, is that a five... three nail shot, and you think, you know, life is over. How many files that you could write on, draw rude pictures on, and pass them to people in shop, you know, like a schoolgirl. That all happens, or
well,
it did.
And you left, and then you got a role on Time Gentlemen Please, the fantastic sitcom Time Gentlemen
Please. Did I? Yes. And you exploded me or set me on fire,
didn't you? Blown up, didn't you?
Yeah, I did get blown up. I was a love interest, though, so quite nice.
Your love interest of Al Murray, you got blown up, and then you went to hospital. You were in hospital.
And
we had a character who was played by Trevor Locke, who was looking over everyone's shoulder in a weird way, but no one ever got that joke.
You put me in a full plaster cast.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. That was nice, wasn't it?
It was nice. It was fun.
I spent one episode with my bosoms up, and the next just completely incarcerated. That was it. Oh well, thanks for the opportunity.
It was a good sharing. That's one of my favourite episodes. The first one where you get blown up is one of my favourite episodes.
Thanks.
It's called A Date with Density.
It was Date with Density. As you kept telling me at the time, but it is called A Date with Density. Do you get it? I said, yeah, Date with Density. Yeah, I get it. Thanks.
different times.
I was crying inside. I was crying inside.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad. That's what I wanted.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, look, can I talk? Because you can I talk about your weight loss that you had?
A weight loss, and then that's back on.
Well,
again.
Well, it's back on again.
But it's that's not what all happens, on. It's not all.
No, well, no. But it was just...
I don't like the way he does this. He's going. He's trying to be. But he's trying to be nice, and at the same time, he's going. So if you could see his little swivelly, his little rat-like swivelly eyes looking like that, going.
It's me talking to you, so we're in the same boat. But it's
My boat is bigger than yours. I'm just saying.
Well, I don't have. I have a little sailor. he's only got one life buoy.
You know, I really don't want to think about that. Really don't want to think about it. And I can tell you that most of this audience don't want to think about that either.
They're all thinking about my...
They're laughing, but with a sort of like a pity laugh. Like, you don't want to get that. You don't want to go down there.
You were the Slimming World Woman of the Year. You had an exercise DVD out.
Have you seen that? Have you done that exercise?
I watched some of it.
Did you?
I did. Well, it was what was online. But it was
you've got to get out more. I know you've got the kids
I
in
did
down.
It for the
if you're see... if you're down in what to see what I look like.
No,
now
I'm researching you.
Oh, but on you,
you look a bit. Look, I've always thought you look amazing. You were more amazing.
It's a slimy little.
I know you've always been gorgeous.
Thank you. Way. You have to say that now because the whole audience is against you.
I tell you, go and watch Time Gentlemen, please. Date with Dentistry and tell me that's not a gorgeous woman. But you lost how much? You lost.
Like, why did we?
Because it's interesting. Because
I lost 12 stone.
Yeah,
I did. And I, see, nah. Is he having some kind of fit?
See, there's someone creepier than me in the room.
Braver than you.
I mean, it's the losing it. Then it's just you're turned on by the stuff that's gone. Right, that's it. We could get that.
Or the stuff that remains.
We could get that.
Should we go? I was completely obsessed about losing weight. I mean, I talk about this seriously because you know, you do think that you'll get to. I mean, and when I was quite thin, I did think, oh, the world will open up to, you know, different jobs or different opportunities or different thing. You know, I married a Turkish man. He really, darling, you are beautiful. This size, so you're beautiful. And then I sort of lost weight and he said, oh, time for a change. You know, it doesn't matter. Lock the window, shut the door. That's what he actually says. That's a real thing. I've given you a real insight into our life. Lock the window, shut the door. Do you know what that means? That means we're going to have sex. Yeah, because I thought they might need explaining. Yeah. So I lost
Why'd
all that
Why'd you have
weight.
To lock the window? What's he worried about coming in?
I don't know.
Is he worried about you getting out or someone coming
no.
in?
No, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Or just steaming it up to such a point that. So, yeah, you lose all this weight, and I was obsessed, and I thought that the world would open up and become a different place. And, of course, it doesn't, because I was a middle-aged woman of the same size as every other woman. Middle-aged woman is like a size sort of 14. And there's a lot of them about, because a lot of women, you know, spend a lot of time trying to be smaller or try to look like something. And indeed, I'd like to be healthier now. I do think that. I think that's a good thing. Do I want to be as obsessed? I mean, I literally got to the point where if you would say, oh, we'll go out for something to eat, I'd start going... where are we going? I wasn't really drinking, which, as you know, is an unnatural position for me. I wasn't drinking. I would get quite shaky if somebody just asked if you were going to go out for a meal. It would make me feel a bit jittery and sick. Right. And that's not a way to be either. No. And that you think that, you know, every single thing that you eat is some kind of validation or some kind of test. And you don't, you know, that's not good either. I would like to be halfway between there and here, in reality, and being honest.
Yeah.
But, you know, life gets in the way, you know, and you go through things, the things that, you know, everyone here would go through. And, you know, elderly parents and, you know, my stepfather had Parkinson's and things like that. And you just think, oh, I just can't deal with that thing, this thing, this thing. And you either channel it and become a different person. So unless you have to want it all the time,
yeah,
to be thin. If you have, you know, you have to want it all the time. And I generally want a glass of white wine or a gin and tonic at the end of. I don't really drink that much anymore, not compared to I used to. And that's the lead, you know, that the triggers for all kinds of things. Yeah. So I'd like to be healthier. I don't think I'm any example. But it is a journey that you seem to wish to talk about. So
I'm just saying, because it's the same for me, and I mean, and it's interesting to, you know, because it was such an extreme change.
Yeah.
And you know, I sort of feel better.
Yes.
that you've gone back the other way. I do, but I know that's sort of weird, but it feels
makes more, you feel better about it yourself,
makes,
no, does it?
It makes me feel better, but it makes no. I think it's more you as well. But I think it's got to be about your personal happiness, right? So
yeah.
So and it, you know, I lost some weight because I was worried about dying.
Yeah.
but worrying about dying, so I meant I want to stay healthy. But you know, to maintain it is really, really difficult.
Yeah, that's the hardest bit, because you've got to, you know, you've done. You think you're going to go through some big tunnel, and you go through the tunnel. I did, you know, and I was proud of myself for that. For that journey, but I was so strict with myself that you can't do a middle path, and actually the middle path is the right. People say, oh, you should just eat in moderation and eat this, and I don't think that I eat particularly badly, but I do eat what I, you know, I have eat what I want. There's no way of yeah. going around that. I'm not saying, oh, you know, I've had three lettuce leaves and a tomato and look at my fat ass. I'm not saying that at all. I definitely have been near a donut because Chrissy Rock buys them and puts them in my dressing room. And she says, I'm just leaving them here, with a very thick Scouse accent. I'm just leaving them here. I go, but they're going to go near my mouth.
Right. I'm going to ask you about if you were put into a chrysalis. I've got a new emergency question. What would you like to come out of the other
excuse
side?
Excuse me, I need to ask some questions about this yeah. chrysalis. Is it a big chrysalis?
It's a chrysalis. You'll go in.
Of my imagination.
Apparently you'll melt.
I'll melt first.
Rebecca Wheatley will melt away.
Into a pool.
Yeah, and then you'll be reborn as anything you want to be reborn.
Will be left, and then I'll become
the
out.
The clothes will be part of the chrysalis.
Naked.
You'll come out. You can come out with clothes if you want. You can have clothes on if you want.
And do I have to be a animal, or can I be a person?
Be anything. You can be anything you want.
It's a very difficult question.
It is difficult.
I could be Farrah Fawcett Majors. I don't want to be Farrah. Don't okay. take my first answer or somewhere like that. You know, somebody. I think you always look at somebody in your in your childhood that you want to be like. But actually, really, I think I'd like to be Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, I think Bruce Springsteen would be a nice thing to be.
Yeah.
I think he's got quite a good life. I think his last album was very good. And Born to Run, I don't think I really am. Born to Wobble, maybe, a bit, but like that. And can I be Bruce Springsteen when I come out? When is this going
to
happen?
Do you want to go back? Can you make it happen? Do you want to be Bruce Springsteen now, or do you want to go back to be baby Bruce Springsteen and live his entire life?
Baby Bruce. Yeah. No, I think I'd like to be him. Not quite now.
Right.
Although he's quite nice now, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is quite nice, isn't he? I mean, the trouble is, I'm being him, not having him, aren't I? Yeah. Unless there were two little chrysalises. And I could come back as Farrah Fawcett Majors, and he could be Bruce Springsteen, okay. But he's mine.
Okay.
Double?
I'll allow that. I'm going to
Thank
allow
you.
It.
It's Hooray a new, for Bruce!
It's a new,
she's
it's a new question. I'm going to allow it. I'm going to allow it. Good. I'm going to ask you about being in Pantos. You did quite Panto quite a lot. How does that work out?
How does that work out?
How does that work out for you?
Look into my eyes. Look into my eyes. I'm a good fairy. Can't you see? Like that. Ping! Yeah, Panto, actually, I mean, I quite enjoy Panto because it's... they never, ever see me as an evil person. I've done it a few times. I'm always the good fairy, which is nice, isn't it, to be good and magical and to be a mythical creature for too many weeks of the year to a lot of screaming children. I quite enjoy it. I think it's the most honest work that you can do as an actor. I'm saying that slowly and deliberately, like I'm making some great statement, but I think it's a really honest work. I mean, it's the hardest work. Menopause the Musical 2 is hard work because we move, you know, we'll be in Stevenage tomorrow and then we'll be in Malvern on Monday or Tuesday. You know, we move really quickly. But in pantomime, it's really hard. I'm not somebody that adores Christmas and thinks Christmas is wonderful, but I do enjoy the time of year, and people come into the theatre that don't normally come into the theatre, and that starts off a relationship with live theatre. Mm-hmm. So if I was being serious, I'd get that. Otherwise, it's a very nice, big, sparkly frock, lots of sparkles on the face, mythical creature, don't swear, there's children. Hey!
And is it, because I've, you know, you sort of imagine, it's because it's such a high-intensity job, right, because you're often doing...
Yeah.
Three, maybe. Two or three
shows. Oh, I don't do the three ones.
No, two a day?
No, I'd go insane. I wouldn't know where I was. Which I'd be up the beanstalk, totally.
Is there a social life? Because it's often there's big stars and you've worked with...
Mark Little. Are you talking about Mark Little?
Mark Little. I wasn't going to say him.
Yeah.
I was going to say Lily Savage.
Oh, yeah, Lily. Yeah, I've worked with Paul. Yes. I mean, Paul is amazing. He's amazing. You don't get much to do on stage with Paul because obviously he will take every laugh out of everything, and he is such an, you know, wonderful performer, an electrifying performer, that he gets, you know, he could get a laugh out of absolutely anything. Mark Little was one year, which is quite crazy, as you can imagine. there's lots of... It's not just that. It's about, you bind together and there is a social life. I don't do that so much.
No.
Now. That's sad, isn't it? That's really boring of me, isn't it?
No, it's. I'm having started to go to them again now I've got little kids.
Yeah.
I'm kind of quite fascinated
and
by
them. Do they love them? Do they?
They do. The good one, there was a very good one, local one, which was a professional one, in Welwyn Garden City, but not with celebrities.
Yeah.
But it was really good and they were really into it. Then we went to see Pantoland, which isn't really a panto, it's a sort of variety show at the. Yeah.
I haven't seen Palladium. That big one with Julian Carey and all of that lot. That seems... It's £200 a ticket.
It was... It was a lot, but yeah.
You're earning too much money.
You have to pay the same for the kids, isn't it?
Not
fun, is it?
And especially if they want to wee when you miss half of it because you had to take them out. You know? Yes, I mean, I think that's a different thing. I think the big... You know, Michael Harrison puts on all those big things, and they puts one on at Birmingham, and they're different, and of course they're spectacular, but they are star led pantos, and I have worked with famous-ish people, but I think it's about the family, and if your kids like it, my son loved it. I mean, he screamed and screamed and screamed and screamed, and you know, like one of those big sponge thumbs that it could go up. Down and he'd want to be on stage. So if children like it, and I've just done Mansfield, which isn't that far from me, a couple of hours from me. Don't laugh. You've obviously been to Mansfield, haven't you? Yeah, it's that bad. It is bad. Mansfield is bad. Lovely people, but it's rough. It's rough. But, you know, we have, it's what, a 600-seater sold out, and there would be, you know, 590 children each show. Yeah. And the decibels, not for this show, but certainly for one of the shows that I did there, was 110 decibels. 110 decibels. That is a really loud amount of noise.
Yeah.
And that's just people screaming at the, you know, Jack and the Beanstalk. Mark Little was on that year, so it might have been him. But, you know, doing a Taylor Swift song. You can imagine that, can't you? You all want to go home and think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I'm just thinking about it. I was thinking about Michael Barrymore singing, rapping to I'll See You When You Get There. Someone did a video of it the other day on Twitter with him. You remember there was a rap, I think it was, do you remember the rap version that I'll see you when I get there? And then it was a rap version.
Was there any tune involved? Because I couldn't find
it. No, that was, they had a nice people singing that, but then he did a rap in between, Michael Barrymore. It's worth checking out, is what I'm going to say. It's the most...
Richard Herring recommends.
It's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. I'm going to ask you another emergency question.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
I sort of do believe in that kind of thing.
Yeah, I thought you would.
I don't. Do you?
Yeah. That's why I asked.
I mean, have I actually seen one? I can't. You know, I think I've definitely felt that there was. You're going to laugh at me so much. This. I do. I believe.
No, I'm
I believe
very interested.
In it. I believe in it.
I've got ghosts in my house, so it's fine.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you, though? You're just sleep deprived.
Yeah, that's mainly
because you haven't got
We used to hear a crying baby in the house that wasn't our baby. We both would hear it, though.
No neighbours or anything?
No. Our house used to be a hospital.
Yeah. Well, we did a kind of seance thing at Mansfield a few years ago on that Mark Little year that we did Panto. And I did feel a presence of, we did the board and there was somebody on this board, and it was supposedly somebody, a stage crew who had committed suicide, right. And that was his wing, and he was sending messages through me to this. I do believe it. I'm going to tell this story now, and you're not going to believe it at all. So, again, on another tour, I went on tour, and I went to, I feel like I'm going to be cursed with this story, but anyway, we went on tour and we were going to see, we were doing Menopause with Cheryl Ferguson, and Cheryl and I said we were in Lincoln, and I've worked many times at Lincoln, the theatre of Lincoln. I said, look, it was a day off, we're going to go and see something, and we went to a psychic because I know the box office free tickets. And the second half of this, I can't believe I'm telling this story, the second half, we had many of the Nolans in the show. I've worked with many Nolans. Linda Nolan was in that show, and then I worked with her sister Maureen for many years ago. So, I've worked with Bernie. And the second half of this woman said, whoever the psychic was, I have a message for blah, blah. And she talked in great detail about this person. And she said, if this person is for you, you will know. And it was Bernie Nolan had come to talk to me. And she did go through details of the show, being as we, you know, that is not on any YouTube, that are not, she said, Bernie wants you to do this. There was a section of the show where I play the drums and then I do this with my backside, so to show how great that I play the drums. It's just a silliness. And she said, she's saying to me to do this action. I don't know what it means. I've got to take a run up. She says, like this, and she said, go for it, girl. She also, in this show, makes me sound like I'm some kind of real porn thing. In this show, this show will never tour again in this country for a long time anyway, so I'm not spoiling anything. I do this orgasm as part of my sexual awakening. This is like a 3-octave orgasm. That's what I do. This poor psychic is in the middle. She doesn't know any of this. She says, I don't know what this is, but she seems to be going, oh, 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 oh. She said, maybe you're singing very high. I said, no, I know exactly what this is. You don't have to do anything. So she said that Bernie Nolan had sent a message, and I believe it.
Okay. Did she have anything useful to say, or just did she tell you stuff that you'd already done? I mean, did she, like, tell you which
Did she tell you what? Did she tell you what religion is the right one? That would be
not only is he creepy about fat girls, he's cynical as well. Cynical and creepy. It's not nice. It's not attractive.
Didn't give you any information about the other side.
I tell you what she said. Yeah. She said,
"Don't go on with her, stupid."
She said these words, yeah. And I'm going to say it, even though you're going to take the piss. Okay. She said, "If you do not sing, you will lose your soul." Oh. That was her message. I thank you. And that's what that was the message. So, I believed it. I've written it all down. And then I had to go and tell Linda Nolan her dead sister had come to me, which wasn't quite an easy conversation. She said, "Oh, yeah, I believe she has." And that was that. Yeah.
That's good. I mean, that's pretty good compared to most of the ghost stories we get on here. So, it's got one of the notes. It's got...
I have more details.
I think the best. I like her the best as well out of all the notes. Bernie.
She was
the best one.
She was the best one.
No offence to the others.
No offence to the others. Although Maureen is...
You've got to say that because you know she's haunting you, so you've got to say she's the best.
Yeah, she is. And we do a Nolan song in this show, so she's going to doubly haunt me now. Because the psychic said... She said, Bernie wants you to know she's on that stage with you this evening. And I said... Tell her to fuck off, because if she's on that stage, no one else will get a word in edgeways. Because she's a great performer, wonderful singer. Anyway, there's lots of details that I'm bore you with, but we'll be here till tomorrow details to prove my story is completely true and real.
I believe in all
fairy. I believe in all angels.
I don't think they're crooks at all, those people. So it's.
You don't think them.
I think they're all those mediums.
You don't think
that. They're all for real. They're all for real.
They're what?
Yeah, it's not. Well, if it's brought you happiness,
then
it doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if I'm right or you're right.
Yeah. It always matters that I'm right. You know that.
I'm right.
Since you made the creepy fat. Since you said the creepy fat things, I'm going to be right forever now.
I did that so to get them on side for you. I'm very generous. My favourite thing about your Wikipedia page.
Oh, I haven't looked at that for...
I know, no one's looked at it for a while, I would say. It's that it ends, the last thing it says is on the 30th of January 2000... I mean, it's not like that detail, right? It's a few paragraphs. And this is what... If you die now, this is the last thing that will be... On the 30th of January 2014, she incorrectly stated on The Right Stuff that homosexuality is banned in Australia.
I didn't say that.
It says on Wikipedia.
I don't even know. How do you correct those things? Do you have to go
in
and correct
it? I can edit it for you. What did you say?
Did you put that in there?
No, I didn't put that in there. I just find that funny out of all the things. It mentions everything you've done, but then someone's gone and gone, right.
She said, did I say that?
I mean, you said you were very pro gay rights and everything like that.
Of course.
But then added...
They've saved me.
It seems an odd thing to add at the end of that.
I didn't know that was there, and I don't think that I said that. What? I'm sure I didn't say that.
Okay.
Don't fold your hands if you're going to...
I've got you. It's my gotcha.
I don't think I said that. I said that we're struggling. I think I was talking about international gay rights generally, because I'm the trustee of a charity called the Paul Cottingham Trust, which is about and we do work for not only to help equality but also to help internationally. So I think. If I said anything, which I really can't remember, because it's quite a long time ago, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I think I would say that there would be rights internationally, and that would probably be as far as...
Citation needed. As I'm going to go and put
citation needed. Is that what happens?
Liar,
liar, pants on fire.
I'm going to put citation needed. Please get in touch with the clip so that I can see Rebecca Wheatley saying
this.
It seems such an odd thing to put... Even if you had said it, was there any controversy about you saying homosexuality was
only for that one person?
That one person is furious and they've gone on.
It isn't banned, is it?
No. Well, according to this, it says incorrectly. Any Australians in?
No.
No, because they've all been banned. They've banned them.
You've only got one that's been to Mansfield and that's not that far away.
When you've got King Richard III, you don't need to go anywhere, do you? That's it, you've got that. It's the last thing you need.
Terrific. Look, I think we're going to have to let you go and do your actual show.
Yeah, because I've got to do my actual show,
which is fantastic. That's at 7 o'clock, what did you say?
7.30, I think, tonight.
So if anyone wants to come again.
And then we're touring till June, everywhere. Yeah. And we go Ireland, we do a month in Ireland and Scotland and all these other places. So go on the website for the menopauses and... or something like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's all right. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a massive round of applause. The amazing Rebecca Wheatley! Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please give some money to Scope if you feel like it. I'll see you again. Thank you, Lester. I love you really, Lester.
You have been listening to Rahulastapur with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Rebecca Wheatley. Thank you very much to Scant Regard. They play the theme tune to this show, as you may be aware. I'm indebted to my director and friend, Chris Evans, not that one. I'm indebted to George Lingford for his fantastic sound recording advice and brilliance. Thank you to everyone at the Y Theatre in Leicester for looking after us so well. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Comedy Festival where these shows were recorded. And this is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. We're doing loads more live shows. We'd love to see you at one, or you can get the live streaming for the Leicester Square Theatre ones. Go to richardherring.com/gigs for all the details on the upcoming shows. GFSboxoffice.com if you would like to see the videos of the shows we've already done this series and the live streams of the shows that are to come.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for all your Richard Herring download and book needs. Go to RichardHerring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can. And make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.